Thank you, Dr. Durrell. And we'll move on to our next speaker, who's Dr. Jessica Kahn, an Associate Professor of Pediatrics in the Division of Adolescent Medicine and Assistant Chair of Academic Affairs at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center. Her research program focuses on HPV vaccine acceptability and uptake, and she has served on a variety of committees, including the HPV Vaccine Advisory Committee of the World Health Organization.
Thanks so much, Dr. Markowitz. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon to talk to you about provider recommendations and HPV vaccine acceptability. The objectives of this session are just briefly, first, to discuss key components of a system to maximize HPV vaccine delivery and uptake, and then we'll review some recent data regarding provider recommendations for HPV vaccines and predictors of recommendations, and what the implications of those data are for interventions to increase recommendations. And finally, we'll review some data regarding parental and adolescent acceptance of HPV vaccines and predictors of acceptance, and again, what the implications of those data are for interventions to increase acceptability. So first, just to briefly review the potential public health impact of HPV vaccines, HPV is very common. It's acquired soon after sexual initiation. It may cause significant clinical sequelae. And in addition, there are significant socioeconomic and racial disparities, both in HPV infection as well as HPV-related disease. We know that both of the HPV vaccines that are currently licensed are safe, they're well-tolerated, they're highly effective in HPV-naive women and men. And the potential public health impact globally is quite significant if we can achieve high vaccination rates among girls and boys who have not yet initiated sex. So how do we realize this potential? Well, this is a strategy unlikely to work with adolescents. Here's a vaccination man slowly cruising the neighborhood, waiting for that occasional careless child who confused him with another vendor. I think we need a more systematic strategy than that. In the U.S., we have extensive system for vaccine delivery. First, approval by the FDA. Secondly, recommendations by the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, the ACIP, and professional organizations. And this has all occurred with respect to HPV vaccines. There are quite clear recommendations regarding HPV vaccination. And if those are all in place, then what's needed for effective vaccine delivery and uptake is an adequate vaccine supply, good affordability and access, good educational strategies, provider recommendation, and parent and adolescent acceptance of vaccination. And we'll be focusing on those latter two today. So I'll start off with provider recommendation for vaccines, and I'll review the results of three studies that have looked at recommendation rates for HPV vaccines. So the first study is by Daly and colleagues, and they looked at HPV vaccine recommendations among U.S. physicians about 18 months post-licensure. And on this slide, you can see the percentage of clinicians who strongly recommended the vaccine to girls at that time point. And what you can see here is 50% of family physicians and 56% of pediatricians were currently strongly recommending the vaccine to girls who are 11 to 12 years of age. And this, as you recall, is the ACIP recommended target age group for vaccination. And a higher proportion of these clinicians were recommending the vaccine strongly to girls in older age groups. Barriers to recommending the HPV vaccine identified by the clinicians in this study included insurance not covering the cost of the vaccine, inadequate reimbursement for vaccination, and the upfront costs to purchase the vaccine. A small proportion, 5% or less, of clinicians reported that parental safety concerns, parental opposition due to moral or religious issues, and parental concern that vaccination would lead to riskier behaviors were a barrier to vaccination. Factors associated with recommending the vaccine to 11 to 12-year-old girls in this study included being a pediatrician, having a higher proportion of publicly insured patients, being less likely to endorse certain barriers, for example, the necessity of incorporating sexuality into the discussion around vaccination, belief that parents of younger girls would be more likely to refuse the HPV vaccine than parents of older girls, and the time it took to discuss the vaccine. This is a second study that we did among Texas clinicians. We surveyed family physicians, pediatricians, obstetrician, gynecologists, and internists about 2 years post-licensure, and we found that 49% reported that they were always recommending the HPV vaccine to 11 to 12-year-old girls. And again, this is the ACIP-recommended age group. In this study, factors associated with recommendation of the vaccine to 11 to 12-year-old girls, including being in an academic versus a non-academic practice, having in place office procedures to maximize vaccination rates, higher HPV knowledge, having received information from professional organizations as opposed to, say, the media, and belief in mandated vaccination. Barriers to recommending HPV vaccines in this study were somewhat different from those identified in the previous study, in that these clinicians reported a high proportion of their parents refusing vaccination, for example, due to concerns about vaccine safety, due to lack of education about HPV, because of negative media reports, because of mistrust of vaccines generally, because concern that their consent to vaccination would mean they condone premarital sex, and concern that vaccination would lead to riskier sexual behaviors. So these proportions are higher than in the study by Daly and colleagues. And I just wanted to point out that a number of these barriers are likely related to the misleading reports that we've seen in the media and by anti-vaccine groups. And this is something that clinicians on the front line are up against every day. And finally, this is a study by Susan Vadaparampil and colleagues, which was recently published. And this study looks at vaccine recommendations among U.S. physicians about 3 years post-licensure. And the outcome variable is recommendation of HPV vaccines at least 75% of the time to girls by age group. And here what you can see is 26% of family physicians, 48% of pediatricians, and 36% of obstetricians and gynecologists were consistently recommending HPV vaccines to 11 to 12-year-old girls, again in the recommended age group for vaccination. And though a higher proportion of all three subspecialists were recommending the vaccine to 13 to 26-year-old women, you can see that rates are still somewhat suboptimal in all subspecialties. Factors associated with recommendations to 11 to 12-year-old girls in this study were being a pediatrician, perceiving low barriers to vaccination, and being a VFC, or Vaccines for Children, provider. And what about boys? That, as you heard, the vaccine has recently been recommended by the ACIP for use in boys and young men. Not much has been published to date about recommendations in boys, but this is a study looking at pediatricians' intention to recommend HPV vaccines to boys as compared to girls by both age and vaccine type. And it's a bit of a complicated slide, but I just wanted to draw your attention to 3 points that these graphs illustrate. First, they demonstrate that pediatricians are more likely to recommend both types of vaccines, a cervical cancer vaccine or a cervical cancer genital wart vaccine, to girls compared to boys. They're more likely to intend to recommend both types of vaccines to older compared to younger boys and girls, so to 14 and 17-year-olds compared to 11-year-olds. And you can also see that intention is somewhat similar for both boys and girls for cervical cancer genital wart vaccine. So what I take from this is that if clinicians think that that a vaccine will have direct benefit to boys, for example, it will prevent genital warts as well as cervical cancer, they are more likely to intend to recommend that vaccine. So in summary, we can see that there are a number of missed opportunities to vaccinate. Fewer than 50% of clinicians in these studies were consistently recommending the vaccine to girls in the targeted age group for vaccination, 11 to 12-year-olds. They're recommending the vaccine less often to girls in the target age group than older girls. Their intention to recommend is somewhat lower for boys than girls, though intention to recommend to boys was fairly high. And research has identified some modifiable predictors of recommendations of HPV vaccines. So what are the implications for interventions to increase provider recommendations? Well, we can target some of these modifiable predictors. We can enhance systems of care, for example, enhance office procedures to maximize vaccination, decrease financial barriers to vaccination, increase physician knowledge. And I think it's very important to focus on the importance of vaccinating 11 to 12-year-old girls and boys in these educational initiatives. And finally, we can address physician attitudes and, in particular, perceived barriers to vaccination. We need to give clinicians tools to address parental lack of knowledge and understanding, and we need to give them strategies to address parental concerns, for example, about safety or about moral or religious issues. So let's move to parent and adolescent acceptance. And I'm going to start with one of my very favorite cartoons about HPV vaccines, which was published just after the quadrivalent vaccine was licensed. Critics claim HPV vaccination will lead to promiscuity, and we have this darling little girl saying, "I'm so turned on right now." And I just want to draw your attention to the poor mother's face here. She looks so alarmed. So is this really accurate? You know, are mothers and fathers really this concerned about this impact of HPV vaccines? So this is a study we did among a national sample of nurses post-licensing, and we asked them whether they intended to vaccinate a daughter. This included only nurses who had a daughter. And 48% of them intended to vaccinate a 9 to 12-year-old daughter, and again, this includes the ACIP recommended age group. And they were more likely to intend to vaccinate an older daughter compared to a younger daughter. Variables associated with intention to vaccinate daughters in this study included a history of HPV-related disease in the mother, whether the daughter had had a Pap test in the past year, belief daughter should get a Pap test, and beliefs about HPV vaccines. And you can see that the adjusted odds ratio associated with that last variable is quite high, 50, and this was a scale that was comprised of 7 items. So these appear to be very important items. So I'm going to show you those items on the next slide. These were beliefs about HPV vaccines, again, that were strongly associated with intention to have a daughter vaccinated, and they included clinician would recommend HPV vaccination, higher perceived benefits of vaccination, and mothers who believe that HPV vaccine would protect their daughter against cancer and that vaccines in general are a good way to protect one's daughter's health were more likely to intend to vaccinate their daughters. Lower perceived barriers to vaccination, including the belief that vaccination would not lead to riskier sexual behaviors or avoidance of Pap screening. And finally, the belief that HPV is a serious problem and that their daughter is susceptible to HPV. Now, what I've done here is summarized a number of studies related to mothers' reasons for accepting vaccination of their daughters, and these were done post-licensing, and I've just summarized a whole variety of studies on this slide. And what all these studies demonstrate is that there are three main sort of buckets of reasons why mothers accept vaccination of their daughters: healthcare-related factors, and specifically, most importantly, physician recommendation, knowledge about and familiarity with HPV vaccines, and attitudes about HPV vaccines. Among the attitudes, the most important appears to be a desire to prevent HPV-related disease, and especially cervical cancer in one's daughter, belief that vaccines in general protect their daughter's health, and high perceived risk of HPV infection. And on the next slide, I've summarized mothers' reasons for declining vaccination of daughters, and again have summarized the results of a number of studies. Lack of knowledge about HPV and vaccines is a primary reason for declining vaccination, and also attitudes about HPV vaccines. For example, one's daughter is too young to be vaccinated, one's daughter is not sexually active, low perceived risk of HPV infection, and concern about vaccine safety. Now, I'd just like to point out that very few mothers in these studies cite concerns regarding girls practicing riskier sexual behaviors as a primary reason for not vaccinating their daughters, contrary to many clinicians' concerns. What about parental acceptance for vaccination of boys? Again, just a brief summary of the data that's out there. Intention to vaccinate a son varies widely from about 60% to 100%, depending on the study, depending on the population and the region. Intention to vaccinate sons is fairly similar or somewhat lower than intention to vaccinate daughters, but still reasonably high. And acceptability is generally higher for a vaccine that would protect against both genital warts and anogenital cancer compared to only cervical cancer, just as we saw in the studies of clinicians. So in summary, parental acceptance of HPV vaccination for their children is generally high. Acceptance seems to be higher for older compared to younger children. Again, this sort of is in contrast to national recommendations for vaccination. And the two key drivers of acceptance are belief that the vaccine will protect their child from cancer and provider recommendation for vaccination. So what are the implications for interventions to increase parental acceptance? Well, I think education, of course, is key. Education about vaccine safety, vaccine efficacy, and especially the importance of vaccinating at the recommended age. And I also think that the evidence shows that if we develop some brief key messages that address attitudes that drive decisions about vaccination, we can improve acceptability and uptake. Clinicians being supportive of vaccination is very important. Other key messages should include the vaccines are effective, they should prevent most cervical cancers, vaccines are safe, adolescents are susceptible to HPV, and HPV-related disease is serious and can affect both men and women. And clinicians, of course, need to be able to elicit and address any concerns if parents refuse vaccination. And finally, we'll move to factors associated with HPV vaccine acceptability and uptake in teens and young adults. And I'm going to start with women and then move to men. And in this slide, I've summarized the results of a number of studies looking at factors associated with uptake in teens and young adult women. And again, just as for mothers, these fall into the two buckets of healthcare-related factors and attitudes. Healthcare-related factors include having had a recent healthcare visit, so being involved in clinical care, a clinician's recommendation, and having insurance coverage for vaccination. In contrast to mothers, positive social norms seem to be the most important attitude that drives HPV vaccine acceptability and uptake in young adults. So what I mean by positive social norms is one's parents, one's friends, one's clinician, other people who are important to this young woman believe, if she thinks that they believe she should be vaccinated, she's much more likely to accept vaccination. Other attitudes that are important in terms of driving vaccine acceptability and uptake include belief that the HPV vaccine is safe and effective, perceived susceptibility to HPV, and perceived severity of HPV-related disease. What about teens and young adult men? Well, there have been a number of studies looking at intention to receive the vaccine among young men, and intention is generally high among adolescent and young adult men, a bit lower among adult men. Again, there's higher intention if the young man perceives that the vaccine provides direct benefit to him. And factors associated with intention are very similar to those in young women and include positive social norms, higher knowledge and awareness of HPV vaccines, and higher perceptions of risk. So what are the implications of these findings for interventions to improve acceptability and uptake in teens and young adults? As for mothers, we need to decrease healthcare-related barriers and develop some key messages that address beliefs. So in terms of decreasing healthcare-related barriers, in this age group in particular, it's quite important to ensure that the vaccines are accessible, especially to uninsured and underinsured women and men, because in this adolescent and young adult age group, as I'm sure you're aware, the rates of uninsurance and underinsurance are relatively high. And also we need to establish office systems to increase vaccination. Again, for this age group, flexible hours and adolescent or young adult friendly services will be key. Recall and reminder systems are also quite important for this age group because these young people are very busy and they tend to forget. So these systems are particularly important for that age group. And in terms of developing key messages addressing beliefs, for this age group we must consider promoting social norms, positive social norms. That's clear from the data. Also, we need to highlight clinician support of vaccination, focus on HPV vaccine safety and efficacy, and note that HPV-related sequelae can be serious, and again, that both women and men are at risk. So I'll just summarize by drawing a few conclusions. I think that in terms of maximizing vaccine uptake and impact, multidisciplinary strategies are going to be needed for this vaccine, perhaps even more than for other vaccines. And those will involve clinicians, educators, advocacy groups, public health personnel, researchers, and policymakers. Maximizing uptake and health impact will require increasing clinician recommendations and parental and adolescent acceptability. And as I've noted, we really need to make sure that we focus on the 11 to 12-year-old age group. We'll have to address barriers to uptake, including healthcare-related factors, lack of education and understanding, and misperceptions, and address disparities in uptake, which is beyond the scope of this talk, but I think quite important to focus on. And finally, what tools do we have? Well, we have the research that I described that provides the evidence base that we need to design interventions to promote HPV vaccine recommendations and acceptance and to address specific barriers. And we have a whole variety of valuable resources for advocacy, for education, for providing us with strategies to increase vaccination rates. And on this last slide, I have some resources for advocacy and education. There are many others, but these are some key sources: the Immunization Alliance of the AAP, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the National Network for Immunization Information, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia's Vaccine Education Center, and the National Cancer Institute. So I'd just like to say that I'd be happy to answer questions after the third speaker, and we'll finish up. I know that Dr. Dunn is planning to talk about other indications for the HPV vaccine, so I'm just going to leave you with an indication that I've been advocating for, an indication to treat worry warts. So thanks very much for your attention. I look forward to answering your questions.